Mystic Seaport Museum Oral History Number, OH-1967-1. This recording is for research only, and the verbal commentary on it are the property of Mystic Seaport Museum, and may not be excerpted, copied, or performed in public without the express written permission of copyright and or property owner, 2024, Mystic Seaport Museum, Incorporated.
Following is an oral history interview with Bert Ayers, interviewed by John Coaches at Norwalk, Connecticut, on August 2, 1967, for the Mystic Seaport Museum, Incorporated. Listening to the entire tape interview is the ideal method of use.
How old are you?
About a little till December of 87.
87. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
87.
87 years old.
Well, I rolled myself a lot of cigarettes there, but I rolled already too tight. I always make my own. I have a little bit of tobacco. A package of tobacco or cigarettes cost you, I don't know how much, around 35 or 40 cents. I can buy a package of Liberty tobacco for 16 cents, and I can roll 40 cigarettes from a 40. I roll them there a little bit too tight. Gotta let them dry out. Well,
you say you were in the box over there?
Yeah.
In the Navy.
Yeah, in the Cruiser Brooklyn.
In the Brooklyn?
Yeah, Cruiser Brooklyn.
Did you know a man by the name of Treat? Henry Treat?
Henry Treat, and I were shipmates.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were shipmates.
Oh, my God.
Henry Treat.
I have a picture of him. Just a minute.
So,
I don't know. I think he done it about...
I think he was a year or so older than me.
Yeah.
Come here a minute, I saw you. There's my...
Oh, yes.
There's my old picture.
Oh,
get a good look at that.
Yeah, it's the USS Brooklyn.
This is from going to Australia, across the equator. That's the ship we were both on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's me.
I want you to look at the back of that. Oh, yeah. All those ports.
Yeah.
Oh. What year was this?
What year was that?
I think that was after the Boxer War.
1902.
Yeah.
1902.
That was a flagship of the Battle of San Diego.
Oh, no.
Ripper.
Bye-bye.
No! Yes, I've been on a roll this winter for quite a lot.
Now, you said that you're, by the way, was the Brooklyn the first vessel you were on?
Oh, no.
Were you on any sailing vessels?
Yeah, of course.
Which ones were they?
Trading Ship Alliance.
Uh-huh.
I took it. So 6 months in the training station at Newport. Henry Treat was there, too.
Uh-huh.
6 months on the squaring ship. And on through Europe and down through the West Indies.
The Alliance. Uh-huh. The Alliance.
Yeah. Plymouth, England, Southampton, Gibraltar, Tangier, Morocco, then they won the islands of Guam to Portugal. I can't think of the name of the name.
The Azores?
No, not the Azores.
Cape Verde?
Not the Azores. One of the big German liners that got sunk out there doing the Azores War. You can see the bottom on your ship looking with a side throw a tin can over The water is so clear. Funchal Madeira.
The Madeira.
Yeah. Funchal Madeira. You can see the water 125 or 150 foot deep. You could see the same tin can you showed over. So no docks. No docks in Funchal. They have to land with the surf, with the sea. See? First sea is generally a big one. Then there comes a couple slower. You wait for the third one, it'll be a rusher. That's why they rush the boat up on the third one, the crew. And all us boys on the training ship, we had to take a wrap around the mountains. That fella had a old-fashioned steaming fire engine like we used to have here. And the Portuguese guy got us all to come in and sign our name. The next stop was San Juan, Puerto Rico. We went by Haiti and them, then to Havana, Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia, we had target practice on that old Square River. She had 8 or 10 4-inch guns off the coast of New Jersey. Then to the Brooklyn Navy Yard, then a 10-day furlough. Then, after your 10-day furlough, you come back. The ship, the whole crew, 156 or something like that, they won. They will land to San Francisco. And from San Francisco to the Mariana Navy Yard, a place called Vallejo, right across the river from the Mariana Navy Yard. And we lay down there a few days, and then they wouldn't give us no liberty. We had our 10-day furlough. We said, yeah, we're going to the Philippines on a big transport that United States bought it from England during the Spanish-American War when it first started, called the Scindia. And the United States government changed their name to the Ajax. Then they took on all kind of supplies on the ship. Then our next stop was Guam. And then the fatal hatch of the Scindia. There was a big boiler for a bit around the south, burning coal. Burning coal. And we threw it all aboard the Guam and they towed it ashore. You know what it was for? The federal government put an ice plant up there for them people. That big boiler, that's what it was for. Duly Harbor, Guam, Macara Reefs. They have kind of, there's all kind of seashells that people have never seen. Rocks up on the shores of Guam, and from years and years, boy, the polish. There's one cloud there they call a tiger eye. Little small one, like a pearl. It'd be nice in a woman's necklace. And the beach is loaded with them. It was then, I don't know what it is now. Then from there, to Hong Kong. Then to Hong Kong, joined the fleet. The fleet was in there. And they took us and scattered us all around on different ships. Then, down to the Philippines. Then all around them places, the Philippine Islands. Then they had Agnewardo, the Surgeon General. They've been trying to capture him for a long while. And if the truth was known, the American officers didn't want to capture him. I'm telling you the truth now. You get the truth, and the truth hurts, you know. The American naval officers and army officers didn't want to capture Agnewardo. It was up in the mountains. And there was an old Civil War general by the name of Funston. Old fella. What I mean, old Civil War. He told a congressman, he said, give me the command out there, I'll get him. Well, he got the command out there. And he was only out there 6 weeks and he had Anarondo by the neck. There's an island in the Philippines, and the Filipinos on it are called not the babies. They're black as coral. And the rest of the lighter colored Filipinos always trying to kill them out. Like the Americans went over with the Indians to kill them out. Old Funston went and got 400 or 500 of them things. He dressed them up with all kinds of old rags and everything, just like I do all those guys were. And up in the mountains that surrounded Aguilera and took him without a shot. Without a shot. Him and his whole goddamn bunch. Then, back to the, then we had quite a few shovelers. All the freeing ships lay in there. 12 o'clock at night, they didn't have no radio. They shot rockets. They shot rockets in the air, and all the man of war had two red, two green, like, and they signaled with them lights. Well, they call on the ship sometimes, the soldiers for help. All the 1st and 3rd Divisions stand by the land. 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, get you out of your hammock. They all slept in hammocks sometimes. Well, they got them out in one, and we had a lieutenant by the name of Murphy. He drank like a fish. He drank like a fish. He was in charge of the 1st and 3rd Division. And I tried to learn Spanish out there. I couldn't. I couldn't get my tongue twisted up, but I did learn one word. Hombre, not amigo. That means, man, I'm your friend. That's Spanish. Much amigo. And when the Filipinos got knocked, the soldiers and the sailors would chase them through rice paddies back of Cavite, that's 8 miles from Manila. They holler out, Macabibi, hombre, Machamigo, Machamigo. Murphy said, give them hell, boys.
He said,
went through rice paddies. You know, rice goes right in the swamp. Not right up there. What a mess. The Philippines is a hot place. Boy. Yeah. Then from there, when things got kind of, then I ordered another little thing I wanted to tell you. You had a general out there. His name was Lappin. And he got shot off of his horse. And they hung 7 Filipinos by the neck in the city of Manila, right on the square where the capital. Right on the top of that wire, they hung 7 mark.
Did you see this?
The brain of them shoot, some of them shooting Lappin off the head. About 25 years later, in San Francisco, a guy was dying. An old veteran was in the hospital. He told a nurse or someone to send a loser person there. He wanted to make a sort of a confession. And 4 or 5 newsmen come there and they didn't think they was going to hear what they heard. They said, the guy said, I'm ashamed I had to do it. But he said, I had to do it. He said, have them 7 at Filipinos hung. He said, there wasn't one of them shot him off the horse. I shot him off the horse. He said, I shot him off the horse.
And he was a stinking, meanest son of a bitch that ever lived. Mean to his men. This rotten cavalry officer, you know. Meanly, that I shot him at his horse 25 years later. That was that man shot at the general lad. Pretty good, and 7 minutes and three people. Yeah. That little beans was something. Why then, one thing got a little bit feasible out there. We got some new ships coming out. First thing you know, the Thatcher.
Yeah.
The Griffin was a flagship. I can't think of what they got wrote anymore. Is George W. Oh, you can do that. I sound that a four or five admirals out there. Think of how another one would take their place. Well, then the Boxer War. Taku. The closest a ship could get to the shore of battleship was 20 miles. The Yellow Sea. Every country come there to help. The Empress of China, she was a woman. She called out on them help. Well, when the thing was all over, she couldn't pay them in many, so she gave them property. She gave nearly every country, Portugal, Ireland, every one of them, but Europe lived by Indochina. That was given to one of them countries. And Germany got a big piece of land. Everybody got a piece of land and helped during the fight with the United States. United States didn't want it. And all the Allied countries who practically owned them years, Shanghai. And Shanghai is a big city. And it's all laid out in squares. Is it? Portuguese here, the English driver here, the French down here, Santa all over. He's part. And if you commit an offense that you've got to get arrested in Shanghai them years by, if you committed it in a Portuguese place and you were from the English place, you wouldn't hand you over to try it. Oh, and everything, they all had their own court, everything. Then, when that was all over, we went back to the Philippines. Then we took a trip Batavia, Java. I have to think of these things. It almost slipped my mind. Batavia, Java. That's where the Valley of Death is Triune Batavia. And I've been up to the top and you look down and see all kind of dead animals down in there. They got bridges go across it. Now that's where the highest volcano in the world was in 1880. The top of it blew out and set right on top of it. Of the city of Batavia and sunk it into the sea, drowned every living son of gun. It made a tidal wave almost to Mexico in 1880. Hey, all that stuff is there, that place there. The Holland Dutch owned it when we were there. Holland owned it. They fought and got clear with Holland. Then we went back to the Philippines again. Back and forth. I'm come. Nappy Sacky, Yokohama, Colby, Hackett, all those different ports. And at that time, the stores in Japan, the show windows in Japan, instead of seeing them all decorated up with clothes and fancy stuff, you see the women sitting there doing handwork right in the show wingers on the street and embroidery. They're experts at it, the Japanese are. But then from there,
We're back in the Philippines again, all over them places. Then they're having a celebration in Australia. That's where I got that plate from, that aluminum plate with all that names on. That's taken out of the ship's log, the trip to Australia, across the equator. Across the equator. We've got across there. I got initiation. Cold tar and everything else in my hair, everything. CRB, everything. Ugh. And they bring up a big tank on a ladder there, up on the platform with folks, huh? And they got a man up there for the big old Neptune, king of the sea, and his wife with a long, light hair made out of rope, you know, in the colored battle with a laser with a blade of our gut, and they try to get you to ask questions. This is when we're on our way to Australia, Webcraft Equator. So on every floor, then a friend of mine said, Kenny said, I was a young guy. When the doctor up there asked you something, don't open your mouth. If you do, you'll get a brush for that stuff right now. These two quarters, everything, oil, everything that could stick to you. Well, it kept asking me, and I get because you know I was white. He slapped me in the foot with that big brush that was big as this out right here. And two guys took me, give me the grand swing out in the tank. Well, in the tank, there's a lot, the walls give me about way not that up to your breast, like, and there's really a lot of men in there that's been across the equator before representing different kind of fish. And the tank is usually about 40 feet long. If you can get to the other end of the tank, provided they threw you in up the ladder, all right. You don't, that whole bunch of more duck. I don't know how to do it. Well, now we come to a place at a crater that Thursday Island. It's noted, famous for something, this island. Jersey Island, off the west coast of Australia. Then the Great Barrier Reef. It's a shortcut to Australia from Jersey Island, the Great Barrier Reef. It's 1,250 miles long, and it's lit up every little way with a light. From the mainland of Australia, it would be like Connecticut is from Long Island. That firefall, only 1,250 miles. And that kind of rocks, and I guess if there was one ship sunk on the Great Barrier Reef, there's 2,000. I seen one ship there, a Norwegian or Swede, beautiful, sunk down just to the deck, no one on it, and every sail set. Well, Fred Marshall, Squire, everything set. They left her, see? Well, that coral reef, tears the bottom half you. Well, on this coral reef where the rocks stick out, where the tide was down when the rocks stick out, there's a sort of a fish goes on there. It looks something like an American flounder, you know. He sticks to the rocks, and the natives come out from the mainland and just pick them on. They don't. Some of them weigh 8, 9, 10 pounds. You know, they don't have to catch them with a hook and line. They just pick them off. They just stick them up. Well, then Australia. Then Sydney Ferries. And if somebody blindfolded you before your ship got ready to go into Australia, the harbor, Sydney, you swear to Christ you were coming in New York City. Great big skyscraping buildings, and the harbor is almost the same shape. They're straight in. If you walk the river up this way, up that way, same as the harbor in there. Now, Australia,
That time had, I think, 10 million population. And the biggest part of the population was in two cities, Melbourne and Sydney. Well, the main celebration was in Melbourne. So we had to go to Melbourne. The Duke of York and all out of them royal families was all down there on a big yacht and a fleet of the British battleships and one big Russian cruiser. I couldn't make out the words on the back, but I tried to read it and it sounded to me like chickens have been scratched and a gremlin there or something like that. A big cruiser. You know, the United States built a lot of ships for Russia at that time. And that ship was built in Philadelphia, that woman boy or whatever you call her. She was on one side of the dock, and we were on the other. And you ought to see the people coming down visiting this ship. And if you walk around on the celebration, it was gone for about 3 or 10 weeks. If you walk around and want to go in a saloon and get a beer, the barmaid women, they throw the stuff back to you. Well, I seen it. A no gray-headed man, big, tall man. He was playing a harp. It's a harp, ain't it? The big thing with the wand, you just ask him where it is. He was playing at it on the sidewalk. I don't know where he came from. And he had a young girl there, like 16 years old. There she could sing like a bird. And they were taking up collections right on the street. The sailors were throwing the money out. All right. And we come away from there. We come away from there, from the celebration. We're there for quite a while. We went to a place called Albany, Western Australia, where the sand on the beach looked like granulated sugar. Man, well. And there's another thing I wanted to get here. When a passenger ship comes into Australian harbors, there's a whole fleet comes to the Frisco run there, regular trip, and painted white. And when the ship comes in, enters the harbor, Sydney or any one of them harbors, they talk about places here being polluted. The steward or someone goes around and he checks that round the pirate. Soon she sticks her nose in the harbor. You couldn't find as much as a matchstick floating around on the visitor. It all kind of cling. Well, then they. Brother.
Oh, your father's
brother. My father and the other brother worked for the older brother.
And what was his name?
Yeah, that built tugboat.
Oh.
Amster steamer. Good size ones. Schooners. Two-masted schooners and all that kind of stuff.
Do you remember the names of any of the schooners that he built?
Oh, Christ, no.
So where was his yard?
Over me, sir, down by Dawes Pike. You know what that is?
Yeah.
So that's down in there.
And what did he call it? The Ayers Boatyard?
Yeah.
Ayers.
Yeah.
Did he build the Alice Wentworth?
Huh?
Do you know the boat Alice Wentworth?
I haven't seen it.
Did he build that?
I couldn't tell you. She's a schooner.
Yeah.
Alice Wentworth. No,
I remember the tale.
I couldn't quite tell you. You think, when we happened to go down there on the Brooklyn to Australia, the Australian wanted to see the ship that was in battle, that had been in through a run of sin battle. And the ship was supposed to go there was the battleship Oregon. And so the Brooklyn was in the battle. She was the flagship and the fleet. So they couldn't get the Oregon to go down there. And they sent the Brooklyn. Now, we happened to go there.
When we come back from Australia, the first place we went was Vladivostok, Siberia. And from the Vladivostok, Siberia to Hong Kong. And from Hong Kong, back to the Philippines. And we used to make regular trips back and forth, just like a trolley car. Hong Kong, the Philippines, Shanghai, or all those different places. Nagasaki, Yokohama. I tried one time, but I didn't have liberty enough to walk to the top of Fujiyama. It's 14,500 feet high. And when we stopped walking, long at night, with that bunch of us sailed, we had to put up on the road house and go back, because our time was up. We never did get to the top. But I'll tell you one thing I did in Auckland, New Zealand. In Auckland, New Zealand, I went down in the crater of the volcano. It's almost 8,000 feet high. Down one side and up the other. And I sicked a big piece of that slag up and I carried it way down Main Street. This volcano is right at the top of Main Street in Auckland. Well, and the fellas told us that the volcano hadn't been in action in 50 years. And believe me, I always thought that volcano like had a snap in it where the stuff come out. It was half a mile across in diameter. An half a mile. And Mont Aiden is the name of the bike. Over half a mile. And up on the side of it, all green grass was growing. And the farm was up there. The cattle chewing the grass. It took us more than an hour going down in one side, I guess, and coming up the other. Mount Aiden. And from there, I don't know about Vladivostok, Siberia. Oh, yeah, a little funny thing happened in Vladivostok, Siberia. The sailors wanted to get something to drink. So they got it. The poor Russians, them years, drink stuff they call natty. It was cheap. About 9 cents a quart. About 9 cents a quart, and over here, $3 or $4. It's whiskey. And the Russians have got money, won't drink that. They want cognac. Cognac. So we went to a Russian theater in Siberia. And you couldn't understand a damn thing they were saying or doing. And I sat with the rest of the boys. I'm a guy I never drank. And all of a sudden, a crowd of us sailors that was went started to clap and cheer, and the whole theater stood up and looked around. They wanted to see what was going on. They thought them guys could understand it. They were all hands drunk. They could not understand nothing.
Going back to the other, do you remember any other boat builders in Norrock, in the river?
Well, they ain't been there nearly lately.
No, I mean, as far back as you can remember.
Yes, I Richard and Reed. Richard and Reed was a big boat builder now.
What did they do?
All kind of boats, tent boats, yachts, oyster boats, scooters, Richards and Wee, but they've been away from here ever since I was a boy 8 or 9 years old. There was a big place on Weather Street. Yeah. Philippines.
Did you remember sandbaggers?
Who?
The sandbagger boats. Sandbaggers.
Yeah. Do I remember?
Yes, I sailed on water many a time. I'm a sandbagger. When I was at Slab Valley, New England, Bridgeport, they were all right there. They had these sharpies.
Yeah.
Instead of having sandbags, they had a big plank with two guy lines out on it. The animals men are crawling on it. They were trying to go by. Sharpie.
Yeah.
Well, then I remember right here in Norwalk, this same shipbuilder that had any of the rattle or whatever, Richards and Wing, they built all kind of fire round bottom race boats, sandbaggery. One famous called the Amateur, the Teal, the Brownville, and the Champion. You used to take them down to New York and race them. Sandbaggers, they're good size and about 30 foot.
Yeah.
Then over in Bridgeport, they had two. One called the Hornet and one called the Rival. But I did the Bridgeport Yacht Club there. They were all sandbaggers. Yes, I sailed on that sandbaggers many a time.
Did they become oyster boats after a while? What? Did they become oyster boats?
Some of them did. The Teal became an oyster boat. The Broadbill did. The Amateur did. Oh, I think the Amateur got lost down east. She was an oyster boat, and some rich guy in Westport bought her.
And
the band that bought her with him and two or three were drowned out of wreck down around Elizabeth Island, that east of Black Island.
Yes.
East of Black Island. Yeah.
Did you own any oyster boats?
Rem Sloop.
What was her name?
Emma Ellison.
Ellison?
Ellison. Emma Ellison.
Where was she built?
Then I couldn't tell you. Because I didn't have her built. I bought her from a guy in Rowan by the name of Case. And I see there was a lot of people lived over in Oyster Bay that must have owned that boat by the name of Ellison. Because I ran an oyster steamer for the Lady Oyster Company over there, and I got a kind of acquainted with a lot of people by the name of Ellison. I think they must have had that boat built. Gee, beautiful thing. Sloop. About 40 foot on deck. 40 foot beam. Cross for that thing sail. She was built for an oyster boat. The Ellison.
Did you remember the Nina Rowan?
God, yes. I know the band that had it built all day, Rowan.
Where was it built?
Richards and Reed. That's their old fellow, Lena Rowan. Yeah. You had a big sloop.
Big one, yeah.
Yes, you cared about 1,000 worth of oysters, that boat. You had a big boat, Lena Rowan. Go out the devil. I know that whole Rowan family lived in Bridgeport. They owned that boat. Ed Rowland was the fellow's name. He'd been dead quite a while.
I have a... Does this man look familiar to you?
I don't know. You don't know who it is?
No.
Well, yeah, it looks like lion. Colored lion.
the other person there. I don't get to make it out.
Yeah. It could be because this is in America.
Yeah.
Does that look familiar?
Yeah.
Where is that?
That's a camel with a top mask.
That looks like a pirate. Oh. Very good shot.
Uh-huh.
I think that's on the old bridge. And that looks like the English. It ain't here like that, the truth, Daryl.
Yeah. Did that stern look like the eagle, though?
Yeah.
The stern okay for
it? Yeah.
What are these?
Well, that much. Nah, I don't know what them need. I need to.
That.
Yeah.
Good. What about this one? That's a Sharpie.
Yeah.
But that old suit.
Yeah. That's it. I ran, yeah, it worked out anyway. Them waiter shots, I think.
Yeah, you know, that's the Nina Ryan.
That's how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can read the name, the title there.
I can't because my eyesight is.
Oh, I see.
My eyesight.
Yeah. And,
This interview continues on the next CD. And now, CD number 2.
Well, this is Ellsworth's place, I think.
Yeah.
Commodore, the,
yeah.
So what? Does that look familiar?
Yeah.
At the bridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember those boats?
Yeah, do I remember them?
You remember this, sailboat?
Right. Oh. I can't say it too good.
I can't either.
No, my arm started describing a boom.
I'll read the names of the vessels to you. Frampton?
Yeah, you see, wrong with that, or?
Well,
that's a good
one. You know, I can't read that either. Admiral,
yeah.
Amadeo?
Yeah,
all out of the letter. Commander?
Yeah, all out of the letter.
And then the,
Lieutenant?
No, the Al Trophy. What was the film you mentioned? What?
Lieutenant?
No.
Falcon?
Alfred E. something?
Albert E. No, or no good.
I don't know what that is. Well, is this Narmak?
Yeah, along the river.
Yeah.
Well, did they end like the vulture one got in?
I bet. You remember the swordfish?
So, sail lover, not the thorn.
This one?
Oh, yeah. Ground goes out and there's Nelly Glory.
Nelly who?
Nelly Glory.
Dice.
Yeah, I think he had a bill. The sword.
Oh, where was it built?
Well, you know, the sour dough.
Oh, who built her?
Well, I think they put name of Taylor.
And he wasn't a regular boat builder.
Yeah.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Taylor, the sword tree.
What did he use the boat for?
Oystern.
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 On the natural beds or private? On his own world and
the natural beds do.
When is with the cabin here?
That's the cabin looking friend here.
Yeah, and what's back here?
That ain't nothing but a deck or radio.
No, right where the men are sitting.
Steady. Oh, I got some benches or something else up there. But other than that, the old sword.
Is she a typical sharpie?
Well, I wouldn't say so. No. It's built more like a freighter.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one of those sandbaggers, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. How's five sails?
Nile.
Did I read much of this stuff?
Did you remember a man by the name of Burrells, I think?
By the name of what?
Burrells.
Oh.
Burrells, who used to spell these.
No, I don't hear it.
You know what this is? Davis and Taylor.
Davis and Taylor. One letter that the color yard or something.
Yeah.
Got to the color shed. Built straight it out, rent. You know, here we are again, not always good. I have a picture here with the Tamagoyster company gave to me. It showed another tablet 200 years ago. A long ever someone popped it on me, or whatever we came of it.
Was it a drawing?
Got the old City of Nylap or the Eagle?
Hell. I don't know.
Yeah, City of Nylap.
Yeah, the Eagle. It is the Eagle.
Eagle.
What did they use her for?
She ran from South Mall to New York.
With what?
Freight.
Hey.
Freight, yeah. That's the Grand Automobile.
Yeah.
Before New York.
Where was she built?
I couldn't tell you. I think down New York somewhere.
Yeah.
Staten Island or somewhere. That is. I can't make that out.
I can't either.
I decided to cool cool for it here.
Do you remember these oyster barges in New York down near the Brooklyn Bridge?
Oyster barges?
Yeah.
I went on the commander and carried oysters up.
Is that right?
From Brazil today.
Yeah, nice.
Many a trip. Many a trip. They analyzed them. Yeah. Yeah, we used to carry guys up there. And they didn't know if like they opened any other shop, standing up to avenge it, open. They're down on a little stool. And not me.
What did they use to open it?
A
hammer? A hammer or a knife? Take the hammer, dig like a chisel, put the thing on there and knock the tip of the bill off, stick the knife in.
Dig.
Now, was this on the water side or the
oil
side?
That's it. And down by the Fulton Market and over to a place called Little Danflipper Street on the North River. And they have a barge there and they carry the fellow who is the shell down and dumps them in the barge. After they open the oysters, and I don't know what they do with them shells. They can't come just the barge and throw something on the river somewhere.
Oh. Now, was this part facing the river? The river facing the river. That other facing the river. Well, what's on the roadside? What does it look like on the roadside?
Well, just like any city, we got all buildings and other.
No, I mean the bars. Do you have windows too?
No. Oh yes, I had windows and a big door. Big door.
But it was different than this.
Yeah.
There were little, like big skulls with a house all around. Now, did they open them down below or up here? Where did they cut from the oysters? Down below or upstairs?
Oh, down below on the level ladder of the barge.
Oh, what was up here?
I suppose they kept tin cans and things up there, soap baskets and everything.
What did they, when they opened them, did they sell them to the New York restaurants?
No, they had, we used to have order. They'd have all of the, all of that belonged to the elevator company. They opened them oysters, and sometimes some of them oysters would reach your palate there, Frisco.
Did they barrel them or put them in cans?
Cans.
How big were the cans? 3 gallons, 5 gallons, 1 gallon.
Oh. Then they would put some of them in cans, like a fidget, a little glassing fidget bubble came into, with a tube of ice right in the center to keep it cool.
Yeah.
Then the top tacked on. Yeah, then I'll end up with the elevator.
Any of these men familiar to you?
No, I can't see good enough now to recognize them. Maybe I could recognize a lot of them because I told lots of the old nurse.
When was this that you went down there?
Probably 30 years ago. 20 years ago. At Elmer's Oyster Company.
Do you know where these barges were built?
Well, in New York City, they generally have most of that stuff built around to the City Island. The big boatyards at City Island.
Yeah. Do you remember the pen in Bridgeport where they had the oyster boats like this?
Yeah. Sure.
There it is.
Off Router Street. Off Router Street. Did you call it the pen?
Yes.
You had it all the pen. I'm going to put my up in the pen tonight.
Yeah.
The pen.
Where else? You don't know the name of that boat, do you?
No.
Where are most of the oyster sailing boats built?
Well, Richmond built a lot of them. New Haven built a lot of them. Stratford, there was a couple of boatyards. They built boats there. They built them all over. And why they built them all around?
Yeah.
Cape Jefferson was a big shipyard. When the Royal Oyster Company first got in business, they bought the shipyard out, Cape Jefferson. Big shipyard. They brought that out. And they built all kind of boats. We had 40 oyster boats. Right there. Steaming gasoline power. I went one up. And they had them stationed in different places. Now, Greenburn had 5 or 6. Because he owned half of the Quonset Bay down in New Orleans, and over in Orson Bay, he owned Bruner Island. The next family owned it called Bayless. The Flowers that owned part of it.
Who?
Flowers. Frank Flower. And Ralph Bayless. Oh, that guy, that was years ago, boy. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I ran two or three of the boats in Oyster Bay, the Albert, the Earl, and the mark that she was steamed. And 4 or 5 years ago, I took a trip with pilot of motorboat and one of my grandsons with me over there. And Jesus, that place looked funny to me. Looked like I'd never been there before. Yeah. I said, that little channel where we used to wheel to get into the dock, the canal at Oyster Bay. Then up to Bayville. Well, I've got some beautiful harbors. You take half of these shot people up around here, and these marineers, they don't know no place to go, only the island. Well, then, take a trip. Take a trip down to Crowded Bay. And I'm going to bed, but you're going to Windward. And the only thing separates you from seeing Sag Harbor is Center Island, the big island there. Well, you walk around Center Island to get into Sag Harbor, or you can go in from the other way, you see. But the Quiet Bay is just way up to a place called River in it. God damn, it's almost as big as our island sound. That box. You know, man. I used to rent clams and trauma. I would let ground clams far away from green reef light over the Tropenique at the Durian Shore. And the weather, and it was the same as yet. So I would go right out. I didn't grab clams and the reef. I've got caught in the island. They don't, some people think that's our rock. That ain't our rock. It's number sandbar. The rocks are way in the shore. Dry rig. Are the clam tongs the same as the oyster tongs? I don't know. What's the difference?
That, clam leg, he's doing you.
Yeah.
Like that. With bomb handles. I have a little setup, but I give them all over here. I don't do it no more. The clam like they claim is the harvest, but to me it's the easiest.
You go in the boat or you just wrap around on the shore?
And a mask in your bed. What am I going to do? What do you can get to? Which clam are you? Whoa, the fellow that blew out and eat it.
You get long clams.
Yeah. You get all kinds.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you something. I don't know whether you want it on there or not. That shed off.
Hi.
It had a cat called Severa about the Spanish flagship to sailor picked it up. Well, then we bought it. We bought this kangaroo for $25. The crew slipped in and brought it. It was cut about a half size. And the most friendly animal is a kangaroo. So you walk around out there on the deck, licking off the anchor chain that led on the deck under the forecastle. And to the sand. Well, then we had a Rocky Mountain goat. And the Rocky Mountain goat and the kangaroo didn't get along good together. Then we used to fight. So, the only way the goat could get away from the kangaroo, the ship had 3 smokestacks. Big wood round the right side of the deck. So, the water wouldn't work out what I wore. The fire rule would go down below there. The only way the goat could get away from the kangaroo was run down to the deck and turn around on their cars. Well, that matches one for the smokestack, and the kangaroo would be going so fast, but then we go on fire. Well, then we had a monkey, ringtail, big one, big, ringtail monkey. Well, the monkey and the goat didn't get along good together either. They was unfriendly, so. The sailors trained the monkey to run and jump on the bed like a cowboy jumped on the house. You know, so and the golden lion, he stabbed out his hind legs, butt like that. Sarah give the monkey a slap on the face and put him back on him.
I worked up.
Funny, the monkey got so used to riding around on that goat, he jumped out of every day we see him, grab hold of two head. Down the decade ago, boy. Then in China, there's a boxer, rat. They got a bird in China, black like a pill, and I don't know what they call him, and rancers or some of it. Then major sailors get rid of them, kill them or throw them overboard.
Soon as you put the light out, they start to whistle. Whistle! Oh, I love it. You couldn't sleep with the goddamn thing.
Chinese girl. You know, China is a rival citizen to lie. Ain't nothing else they can get there. Goddamn it, the only thing the Chinese need is rice. They get a bowl of just plain cooked rice with no sugar, cleaning or nothing. That's the meal. They get in with a Japanese or Chinese who went out there. She last year to buy out of all right. They left war. And then there is no fee like we have around here. You give them a beef steak and they think that. What?
Yeah. How long were you at oystering? How many years did you oyster?
Well, I was. I was here in the summer. I'm not like when I come out of the Navy. That's got them over 50 years. And, but the winter, I was 7 years in the Tammany Brothers Oyster Shop. 40 years.
Well, what did you do there?
When I first started going now, I opened oysters.
How did you open them? A knife?
Yeah, side knife. Or a mitten on the left hand, the knife in the right hand. Just stand up the bend and grab the oyster like that, in a pot like that.
You didn't...
Oh, no, side knife.
Side knife is a cleavage. Yes. Is the knife about that long?
Yeah.
About 3 foot. Ahead.
Yeah.
You buy the blades at the eyeglass store, and the handle is made out of a piece of white pine. Oh, don't hurt your hand.
Oh, you make your own.
Make
it all. The mitten, was it? You covered all of your fingers?
Yeah.
I understand in New Haven.
I got tired. I had it for you 2 or 3 years, and I got so. I had to get 21, 22 gallons before dinner time. But that time they didn't pay too much money. 22, 23 cents a gallon. Yeah, I got so I was pretty fast. Then I took a job foreman. And I was in there for 40 years. So, one time, the little boss, originator of the Tammany Company, said to me, Bert, I packed all the oysters and cut them after they were open, sizing them. It was embarrassing. And the old man during Tammany said, hey, Bill, come on. He said, I want to send 300 gallons of oysters down to the pouch, brother, down to Greenwich. You know, by then, the pipe trigger, they were quite a big oyster preserve. None of it was all done. And he said, I've got a guy by the name of Dan Morrell with a small truck to take him down, he said. And he's a goddamn hit. He's liable to take that 300,000 oysters down at Fiddler Market himself. Say, he said, I'll let some of the rest of them get in there and clean your place up there. You get on the truck and keep your eye on that, son of a bitch. Old man Tammany was about 80 years old. He'd been dead for a year. I got on the truck. And
in somebody's small delivery truck. 300 gallons.
Were they in pairs of that take 65 gallon can? 60!
300 gallons.
They're not putts here. He said to me, you know, he said, you and I would have a damn good daily work if we drive down to the Fulton Market and sell these oysters. I stood up and looked at him at her. Well, I weighed about 34 pounds more than I do now. Skinflint now. I said, wait a minute. You son of a bitch. I said, that's what I'm here for. You drive them truck down to the Pouch Brothers. I'll knock your brat out. He drove down to the Pouch Brothers. So the next morning when I come back to come to work, the old man come down. How'd you make out down there the Pouch Brothers? I told him what he wants me to do. Take your oysters down there. He said, I knew it. The old man said, I knew it. Said, you can't trust a crook as far as you can see him.
He
wanted to sell it. He had a good day to say. 300 gallons. That time they were worth about $5 or $6 a gallon. Now they're worth about 20. That's the things I see, boy.
You poor old Isle.
We have to give these boys. That is run for Smith and the young Punis boy, see. We're just scared with you. We got a new revolutionary leadership cancellation. I had out of down drill with the sails and stuff. And they have a rat college on the island there. We had a Federal Canal Island, and there's a second class at Furness that spent 6 months there. By being that you didn't know about infantry and cavalry, no army, that's what you showed up. To drill a river down out of us. 7 o'clock in 5 minutes of 12, round rock and prayer. I'll go to the drill. Been 5 inch field breezes in the field there. That drill the hell out of us. You used to have a little map that started 5 years over on the Newport dock and back to the island. Well, then there was a little bridge went over. Coasters Harbor Island, that's the name of it. Green Bridge went across, and they were wearing at a little house there, and the guards. So a month they wouldn't give them no liberty on a Saturday. They would have let go with a new bird. So the bumps made a grand rush, about 200 of them boys, knocked the marine on the board, upset the guard of the house, and to the you know what they give me for that? 48 hours extra duty. When the supposed to have a less, miss your work. That's been doing it. All right.
Do you remember the Weber boat builder Merrimack, a New Rochelle, Weber?
No, I don't remember. Any big place I know down there in Greenwich or anywhere around New Rochelle is you know, I was telling the public about it that day, too. Martell's boat yard, Greenwich.
How old is it? It has. How old is the Martell's place?
Maybe 75 years.
What did they build there?
That kind of big sinky race boat up to the
Motel
Yacht.
Yeah.
A big race boat.
When did you oyster? What year did you oyster on your sloop?
God damn it, it's a damn long ago. I couldn't tell you what year.
Was that, after 1900?
Well, it must have been around 1950, something like that. Yeah, it used to be a little place that was for bed. I tell you a little something happened. I didn't get fish, but the man on the boat got fish. At the shores of Guildford is a place called the Piney Ground. And there's supposed to be state ground, public. But seems that the city of town Guildford has got a town in there. Well, this is a long while ago. This is just 3 years before the Third World War. And I didn't have no boat that time. And a fellow named Red Van with a swift call of Pussy. Those were getting kind of scarce on Bridgeport then. And a couple of long words, you know, them long you're talking about. Yeah, there was something that would be as old as I am. They sent the little Red Van, come on, follow us, they'll show you where you can get your dirt. I'm at 35th Street. When I found a girl there, the Pabby Road on Newbert, that's east of the Stratford of the Milkwater. Well, we're working nice. And the sloop I was on, Fussy, your friend, forward, she carried about 250 bushel. Well, we'd get 250 bushel after a good day's work. And then a grand day, when the bridge fed and unload them on the mile, the second day we come back there to draw the work, here comes a Sharpie out. A Sharpie with power in him. Couple of men and women, he didn't want to buy the book of paper. He was getting a number on the sale. See, United numbers up on the PC sale. But getting the license, told him, and in fact, we had not notified you, Pilgrim, never cat. Well, listen. So I didn't let her rest it, because I was only one of the crew. There was only two of us, and I had all this ready. Well, I think it cost them $25 or $30 each one. The crowd of men went back in every day and got arrested. They got arrested today, we're back in tomorrow.
It paid so well, huh?
Yeah, it paid so well. They made a couple of $100 and paid to court $25. So, finally, that's state now, and the state ain't supposed to sell any of that ground to big companies. You know who was after it? The oyster company, New Haven, and they wanted it because it was a natural bend. And there were big oysters we were catching at 1C. Right, it was out of commission now, ain't it?
Yes.
H.C. Railroad Company. Yeah.
Do you remember canoes? Dugout canoes in New Haven? The what? Dugout canoes?
Yeah, I remember them. They do.
Yeah. It's what they look like.
Right. Yeah, dugout canoes. They're cheesy soil of a goddamn.
Yeah.
They're dug out of a big well.
Yeah.
Out of a big well. You don't see none of them around no more, no. Now, all the canoes now are the old town canoes, Pandas. Smith.
Do they have sails?
No, I never see one of them with a sail. And they had a lot of catamarans that time. Well, two canoes split apart.
Oh.
Now, the Filipinos had something like that, and the Yaks does too. And instead of having two boats spread apart, they got one big canoe, and two big bamboo things were like a small canoe on the end of it. They had just like a sandbag. Filipinos and Japs got that. I'm so glad they go clean out the ocean of the attrition. Yeah.
Do you know anybody at Petrov?
There.
Or Sayville?
No, I don't know any. I was an old fella. I got my job in Mr. Wilkins there for the Sealship Oyster Company. John Webb, I think he died. But the man had people I never know much, many of.
Do you remember the Snoop Blanche from New York someplace?
I think I do remember that boat.
Blanche.
Black. Through a big boat. Big thing. I think they carried Ripper from goddamn thing on up the Nath River. She had rub a mat in the sail. Yeah. I know the old thing.
Do you remember any schooners? Names, so forth.
If I could think back, I remember lots of them. I remember one came from Patchogue, named Nandy Bishop.
Nandy
Bishop. She brought you a guy over there by the name of Inquiry. Nandy Bishop.
What did she carry?
Number like your pages for her. Number. I remember a whole lot of them, and I can't think of the names of them. Lots of them, dozens of them.
Did a lot of them come from South Bay?
Yeah.
They came here and wrapped the oysters.
Yeah, it's a little place over there for Denton fishing, oyster boats and stuff.
What did the schooners do? They brought your oysters?
Then they come and buy a whole load.
See?
Bring oysters too. Take them over there and buy them, Great Dog Bay.
They planned them.
From the name Jake Offers and Fred Offers. Was a regular company, like. They had two or three schooners. That's the only one I remember is Nandy Bishop. Another one called Rudolph. I think she belonged to a guy by the name of Rudolph. Then lots of sealers amongst the oysters.
I heard
sealers of each other. When I happened to, my mind twisted around, this guy named Rudolph got caught stealing over his oysters.
What'd they do to him?
I don't know. I had to pay a fine or something. Shabby day, working on Oakers' ground.
Where are the ground down here?
And I, round with my joint, Great Dog Bay.
That's where we go, Red. See.
Well,
did they crown the oysters around here?
Oh, yeah,
calm them.
Just cut it out. Run out down the cliff. Yeah.
They caught
clams and oysters. I went for a millionaire in Port Jefferson named Brewster. The Sriracha Oyster Company. He was the president of the Pat Jefferson Bank. And they rooted the man there and followed up here in the bank. He gave me a hell of a recommendation. I wasn't looking for no job. I was working in the river. He said, you'd be just the man, Phil Greenster. They had a dock a little way down the bay and a big oyster they named up a cursor. And I had to live on the place, the rooms and everything. And I think I got it. $125 a month. Free rent, free cattle, free everything, and a horse and carriage to drive up to beat the town over there, Rooster. He had one son, this old man, Rooster. He was a millionaire. Was Finley. And the right was that one night, my wife used to go up and spend the day with her. And with all the money, she did her own outwork and everything. Just one young servant. I didn't like it there too goddamn well. Just, my wife didn't, was kind of hemorrhagic for the mainland. So I only stayed there 3 or 4 months. And I hated like hell to see me go. A couple of years ago, I took a trip over to Fort Justin looking for, okay, someone told me a certain work was over there that sailed. I took a trip over, and the dock where I lived for Rooster was all burnt down where I used to live, and the steamer was sunk right alongside of the dock. I suppose they got rid of a man and had no one there to take care of it. Steamboat, oyster boat. Yeah, brewery there. Then I worked yachting during the summer down in Larchmont. I sailed some of the finest race sailor yacht. She's like I was fit there.
The brothers all.
Leon Phil Fry, Lynn Cradle Rastro, and Jesus, God, I know. One Cradle Yellow, and my younger brother, the one who died last one, he lived in them sandbaggers, ran the Bridgeford Yacht Club.
What was her name?
Hannah. Yeah.
That was the rascal like.
What? Huh?
What did the rascal look like?
The rascal, Greenbottom.
And the Chesapeake Bay boat.
Where? Yeah.
Did it have a gas?
Where?
Gas.
Yeah.
Where was she built?
Right here, my father built it.
Oh.
With a Greenbottom. The two of them got the Greenbottom built down there, down Chesapeake.
What other boats did your father build? Oyster boats.
They had one called the Helena, one called the Albert, and he had one called the Blackadder. Blackadder. That was me about them, too.
What was the Albert like?
Well, she was nice round about them both.
Did they look like a South Sider belt?
Yeah.
What other boats did he build?
Well, he built lots of it, I can't remember.
How did he build? Did he use a half model?
Huh?
How did he build the boats? Did he have a half model?
No. He always had a model.
He had a model.
Yeah, always had a model in that boat.
On half, yeah. Now, there are two half models at the yacht club down here.
Yeah.
You've seen them, haven't you?
No, I don't think so.
They're hanging in the yacht club.
In the shooter?
Yeah. One is a sandbagger. You don't know anything about them?
No, I'm sailing on them.
No, I mean the half models.
Yeah. No. I like it. I've done both better out there. Nice.
Bed with it?
I don't think he ever did. No, he was a fishing party. Christian party, Joe. After the last couple of years, they ain't even taking them out. They just hauled up the shipyard and gave them a coat of paint because they got a good job in a factory.
Yeah.
End of tape interview.